Hello there. Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God. How are you today? Saturday. Unbelievable. Another Saturday. Man, where is the time going? Where's the year going? Okay. Today is the 24th of March. And I'm Tom Meglia, financial counselor, estate planner, business consultant, ministry and charitable consultant. How are you? Hope you're doing well. Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God, the radio program, heard every Saturday at 3:30 on KKLA. And I want to invite you to listen to past radio programs. You can do that by going to the website. And if you have a talking computer and you know how to use it, not that I do, go to the website, www.theeconomyofgod.com. And you can hear past archive shows on so many different subjects regarding the economy of God. Things like Job, areas of subject matter we're talking about right now, giving, contentment, ownership. We'll be getting to stewardship after the giving section. So go to the website if you'd like, theeconomyofgod.com, and you're welcome to give me a phone call, 800-386-3700, 800-386-3700. And I'm your financial planner, Tom Meglia. Now, the show or the program is based on the book, Knowing the Economy of God, because we want to learn it and know it and honor God with everything that is related to God's economy, which is basically God's thinking, God's understanding, God's wisdom, God's knowledge. He gives that to us in the Bible, Old Testament and New, all 66 books. And let's start out today with a great passage that every program is starting out with on Knowing the Economy of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, training, correcting, and rebuking in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And today we're on anchor number 3. Program 4 of a 12-week series on giving, which is Anchor 3. I've outlined the book into 4 separate anchors: ownership, stewardship, giving, and contentment. And today concludes the one-third of the 12-week series just on Anchor 3, giving. That's how long it takes to cover everything in the area of giving. And the Bible, of course, has over 2,200 scriptures on finances, the most discussed and talked about subject of any subject in the Bible, which I refer to as the economy of God. I think it's fun. I think it's exciting. Let's apply it to our life. And speaking of that, the 4-part recipe to understanding each concept in the Bible regarding God's economy is: number 1, cite the scripture. Number 2, state the principles economically that the Bible is referring to and teaching us. Basically, Bible economics. And number 3, third part of the recipe, how do we apply it to normal and everyday life? And number 4, the prayer of change, asking God to change our hearts so we conform to His will. Now, today, we're talking about the front cover of the book, which comes from Mark 12, verse 43 and 44, and also a passage in Luke 21. So we'll be talking about both these areas. Luke 21, 1 through 4, and Mark 12, 43 and 44. It's the story of the widow's mite. That is our cover of the book. The cover of the book is the story of the widow's mite, which is so cool. Let's have it. Here we go. Here's Jesus speaking. Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on. That's the NASB version of Mark 12, 43 and 44, the front cover of the book regarding the widow's mite. Now let's go to Luke 21, and I'll read to you the similar passage here, the first 4 verses. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. There's two places in the four Gospels, Luke and Mark, that this story was described. So it's meaningful. We read about it twice in the four Gospels. Okay, and I just out of that one thought, that one concept, I find it very interesting. Very, very serious that Jesus talks about it and it's recorded in two Gospels. So one of the things that we're looking at here in the story of the widow's mite is this poor widow contributed two mites. By the way, they were very small copper coins, which were the smallest currency available at the time in that ancient day, 2,000 years ago. Kind of like a penny in today's currency in the United States. Now, Jesus said she put in more than all. Jesus contrasted the giving of the rich with the sacrifice of the poor widow. She exemplified sacrificial giving. Okay, it's very interesting. The widow didn't refuse to give even when she needed more to live on. Her devotion to God through her contributions was her first priority. That was very, very interesting. So I think that's exciting, don't you? That's why she's our cover girl. That's why she made the front cover of the book. Because she is a great example of a loving, generous, cheerful-hearted giver who wanted to help and bless others. She was unselfish. Her hands were wide open. She gave all she had. She gave a great percentage of what she had. So that is just so phenomenal. Can we do that? Can we do that? Can we act like her, the widow, in the story of the widow's mite? What a great piece of scripture. So I want to just really challenge us to look at the front cover of the book. And if you don't have a book, go to the website. You can see the picture of the cover of the book and kind of think about what you're reading. Think about what you're seeing. It's really amazing because there's so many things in the on the front cover that I see. One of the things I see is Jesus standing there showing his disciples a real life story, the reality of what's taking place right in front of them, teaching his disciples something very important. And here's someone, a Pharisee who's well-dressed, a Pharisee who has lots of money. He's got a big pouch of money and coins he's about to put in. And he's looking at the widow, kind of a look of scoundrelry, you know, a look of disgust. He's well-dressed, well-adorned. The widow has got a stick, old clothes, no sandals or shoes. And it's really amazing what I see in this picture. I think it's so interesting. And by the way, Fred Smith of Arcadia, California, illustrated this front cover. If you go to fredsmithart.com, you can see some of his book covers. He's just phenomenal. And I'm just really excited about this cover. I see so many things in this cover. Here they are at the temple. And there's this little, you know, kind of a, looks like a copper bucket or case, something to put coins in. It's just really amazing. I love this. So this is a very important part of Scripture. It's a very important principle in giving in God's economy, to give sacrificially. To give sacrificially. And the widow gave more, Jesus said, than others. She gave all she had. She gave all she had, which is a very, very interesting concept in sacrificial giving. Okay? The widow worshiped God out of humility and devotion. Okay? Which is so great. And one thing that's interesting is that two mites in those ancient days and currency make a quadrant. And that's a very small unit of currency or value in those days. It was really worth only a few cents. That's all she had. And Jesus' comparison of the percentages contributed by the rich and the poor reminds us that God measures not how much we give, but how much we retain. She didn't retain anything. Those with greater income have an obligation to return a larger percentage of it to God's work. And I think that is a great point. And we need to learn that the widow may not have given much in society's definition of giving, but she sure gave all she had. And Jesus complimented her, mentioned her, and in my humble opinion, she's in the Hall of Fame of Heaven for giving. The Hall of Fame of Heaven for giving. What a great lady this was. After the break, we'll talk more about application to our normal and everyday lives of the story of the widow's mite. Stay with me.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
Welcome back to Knowing the Economy of God. Here's the second half of our program today for January 24th, the story of the widow's mite. Now, I would like to alert you to a great article I read in the LA Times, the Los Angeles Times, on Sunday, last Sunday, which was March 18th. You're probably thinking, Tom, you read a great article in the Los Angeles Times? Yes, I did. And it was in Section M. You might want to get a copy of it. If you can't find it, give me a call. I'll fax it to you. It's called A Wealth of Cheapskates. It may sound like the super rich are giving away a fortune, but they're actually hoarding a lot more. And that's what this article was about. It was about explaining all of these top Forbes 400 index of the super wealthy. For the very first time in 06, everybody in the Forbes 400 index of the super wealthy was a billionaire. Sales of real estate and yachts, all of that were at record highs last year. But the point of the article is most of these billionaires, in fact, almost all of them, gave very little of their net worth or their income, maybe around 1% of their net worth and income in 06. Which is so interesting because it's going to relate back to the story of the widow's mite. I'll explain that to you in just a moment. But listen to this. The 60 leading American donors in 06 gave away $51 billion. Okay, Warren Buffett gave 44 of the 51. So that means the other 59 only gave $7 billion. And that was about 1% of their net worth. I mean, they hoarded, which is the point of the article. They hoarded and kept to their own power, their own desires, almost 99% of their fortunes, billions and billions of dollars. I mean, it's amazing. Americans on the whole, according to this article, give away about half of 1% of their net worth per year. And these billionaires gave just over 1%, only 1%, billionaires. And it may sound like a lot of money that they give away, 1% of $10 billion. Look at that. You know, that's $100 million. So that's a lot of money. However, not according to the way Jesus judges in the economy of God, because it's the percentage. It's giving away what we have to God's work for God's glory, not holding and hoarding for our own egos and pride and power purposes. And the point of the article was that, another point I should say, is that this kind of giving from these billionaires was pathetic. It was pathetic in 06. Some really famous, wealthy, some of the wealthiest people, if not the wealthiest people on earth, gave away about 1% only. And the other 99%, if it was invested conservatively, would give them millions of dollars a day in income after tax, more than they could ever use or spend or need. So why do they do it? Why do they keep so much of this money and power for themselves? And one of the reasons, according to an economist from John Hopkins University, Christopher Carroll, he points out that the super rich save far more than they could ever possibly spend. Okay? They can't even spend it all. It's just so much money. And one of the reasons he speculates that they do this is because they love money and because they believe that more money is more power. And we know in the 1 Timothy chapter that we talked about, 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10, we covered that on contentment a couple months ago, that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And people that hoard money, they love money, they worship it, it's their God. They want power. They believe that more money is more power. This economist, Carroll, from John Hopkins, quotes Howard Hughes saying, money is the measuring rod of power. So we know where they're coming from and what they believe in their minds, in their imagination, that money gives them. You know, I once read a verse on this program about, in Proverbs, how the rich think, some of the rich, not all, but some think that by being rich and wealthy, nothing can stop them. It's their strong city, their fortress. And how false that is. It's all in their imagination, the Bible says. So it's very, very interesting. And also, this article correctly points out that some of the rich want to be referred to in awe. They want to be referred to as, wow, look, there goes so-and-so. They like that. If they give away too much, maybe they won't be looked at or looked upon or talked about in awe. And that's another ego trip. So I think it's very interesting that we talk about this widow's mite story. Because the widow mite story says, give away 90% or 100%, 95%. Let's see if God will sustain you. And he will. Let's see if God will bless you. Of course he will, according to his plan. And he knows the plan he has for us. So we need to be thinking like the widow, sacrificially, generous giver, unselfish, wanting to honor God. And by the way, she didn't look for fame when she gave. She wasn't blowing trumpets like the Pharisees did. She wasn't bringing attention to herself. She just did what she knew God wanted her to do. So it's very, very important. You know, even in this article, they talked further about being rich does not make people happy. It doesn't give the rich a sense of well-being. In fact, there's a psychologist at the University of Illinois that interviewed members of the Forbes 400, the superpower, super rich, and found them only slightly happier only slightly happier than the population as a whole. And that's because money can't do what it can't do. Okay? It can't make us happy. And hoarding money does not make the wealthy happy, but they still want to do it. And it's true. Because they're missing out on the pleasure, the delightful experience, the wonderful pleasure that we get from giving. Hilarious, generous giving. They're missing out. They're not getting blessed. They're missing out on something far more important than the money, and that's a generous blessing. And the fun and the enjoyment of giving. We only get that blessing if we give things away. Time, talents, money, energy, blood, you know, whatever we have, our abilities to help others and so forth. Okay? So that's one of life's most wonderful pleasures is to give. And the widow understood it. She got it. People would say, Tom, did the widow get it? Oh, yeah. She got it. She understood it. And that's why Jesus was pointing her out to his disciples. What a beautiful, beautiful piece of scripture. Say it again. Mark 12, 43 and 44. Ready? Truly I say to you, Jesus said, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on. Sacrificial, generous giver. The story of the widow's mite. That's why she's on the cover. How about if we pray? Father God, I pray for all of us listening today to your word. I pray that we get it. I pray that you give us the wisdom, Lord, and the courage and the strength and the sound mind to understand this story of the widow's mite, so that we can be generous givers, Lord, without blowing our trumpet, without drawing attention to ourselves, but in secret and private, for the Great Commission's purpose, spreading the gospel, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to understand God's economy, your economy, and to apply it in our normal and everyday lives, whether little, old, whatever we are. We thank you, Jesus. We give you the love and praise. Change us to your will, Lord. Amen. Now listen, if you would like a financial game plan that emulates Scripture, God's economy, I want you to call me. The first meeting is free, 800-386-3700, or send me an email by going to the website, www.theeconomyofgod.com. You can order the book, sign up for the free newsletter, send me an email. You know, if you have disagreements with what I say, that's fine. I want to learn too, so teach me. I have a teachable spirit, teachable heart, because I'm a work in progress, just like all of us. But Scripture is so awesome. 100% true. All of it's true and God breathed. What's God's economy? Is it Tom's thinking? Nope. Is it some financial magazine or periodical? Nope. Business section of a newspaper? Absolutely not. We'll find it in God's Word, God's Bible. So thank you for listening. And again, I hope that you take some time to really have a hunger and a thirst to know God better and to understand his thinking more clearly. And I hope that you have the time to go to the website or give me a call. And we'll do a financial plan that matches Scripture. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to do things God's way, not America's way or any other country's economic systems? Great. So thank you. We'll talk to you soon. 800-386-3700 or www.theeconomyofgod.com. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.